Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day with Life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for January 31st, 2019. Today, looking at Judges chapters 4 and 5. As we work our way through the book of Judges, we take a couple snapshots of a couple of different judges. This time period covers approximately 300 years, and there's lots of judges in different parts of the land of Palestine, and their years and their reigns or their rules kind of overlap, because even though Israel is a large nation, they're not extremely unified. And so these judges are people that God raises up at different places and for different periods and for different specific purposes to free his people from localized oppression in those areas. And so today, Judges chapters 4 and 5. After Ehud died, once again the people of Israel committed evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who ruled in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Again, the people of Israel called out to the Lord, because Jabin had 900 iron chariots. He brutally oppressed the people of Israel for 20 years. Deborah, a woman, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel would come to her for judgment. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali. She said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zebulun. I will lure Sisera, commander of the army of Jabin, to you at the stream Kishon, along with his chariots and his horde, and I will give him into your hand." But Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go, but if you do not go with me, I will not go." She answered, "All right, I will go with you, but because of the way you are going about it, the honor will not be yours. The Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kedesh. Barak called up the forces of Zebulun and Naphtali to meet at Kedesh. 10,000 men went up on foot, and Deborah also went up with him. It happened that Heber the Kenite had separated himself from the other Kenites, who were descendants of Hobab, the brother-in-law of Moses, and he had set up his tent out by the oak tree in Zaanaim near Kedesh. When Sisera was told that Barak son of Abinoam had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera led out all his chariots, 900 iron chariots, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim, and they came to the stream Kishon. Deborah said to Barak, "Get up. Today is the day that the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Is not the Lord going ahead of you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men followed him. The Lord threw Sisera, all his chariots and all his troops, into confusion with the edge of the sword of Barak. So Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and the troops as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. Sisera's whole army fell by the edge of the sword. Not a single man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the household of Heber the Kenite. Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "This way, my lord, come here to me, do not be afraid." So he turned aside to her, went into her tent, and she hid him with a covering. He said to her, "Give me something to drink, please, just a little water, because I am thirsty." She opened a skin of milk and gave him some milk to drink. Then she covered him up. After that, he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and if anyone comes and asks you, 'Is there anyone here?' say no." But then Jael, wife of Heber, took a tent stake, and gripping a hammer in her hand, she came to Sisera quietly, and drove the stake through his temple right through to the ground. Sisera had been fast asleep, exhausted. Now he was dead. When Barak arrived in pursuit of Sisera, Jael came out to meet him. She said to him, "Come in, and I will show you the man you are looking for." So he went with her, and there he was. Sisera was lying there dead, with a tent stake through his temple. So on that day God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the people of Israel, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they cut down Jabin, king of Canaan. Chapter 5. Deborah's Song. On that day Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song: "When leaders take the lead in Israel, when the people freely offer themselves, bless the Lord. Listen, kings, lend an ear, rulers, I will sing, yes, I will sing to the Lord. I will make music for the Lord, the God of Israel." Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched through the countryside of Edom, the earth shook, the skies poured, yes, the clouds poured water. The mountains melted before the Lord, this Lord of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the main roads were deserted, and travelers kept to pathways and winding roads. Life in the unwalled towns came to a halt. In Israel, life came into a halt until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose as a mother in Israel. When Israel chose new gods, there was war at the gates. Neither shield nor spear was seen among the 40,000 in Israel. My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, to those who freely offer themselves among the people. Bless the Lord. Riders on tan donkey mares, you who sit on saddle blankets, as well as those who walk along the way, consider this. Listen to the voices of those who divide flocks between waterholes, where they recount the righteous acts of the Lord, righteous acts for those who live in the unwalled towns of Israel. Then the people of Israel went down to the city gates. Wake up, multitudes of the people, wake, awake, sing a song, rise up, Bera, Barak, Deborah, strengthen Barak, lead away your captive, son of Abinoam. Then a survivor subdued the mighty ones. The people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. Some came from Ephraim, their root is in Amalek. Behind you came Benjamin with your people. From Machir the commanders came, and from Zebulun those carrying the staff of a scribe. The officers of Issachar are with Deborah. Yes, Issachar sent support for Barak into the valley on foot. But in the divisions of Reuben there is much soul-searching. Why do you linger among the sheepfolds to listen to the whistling of the flocks? Concerning the divisions in Reuben, there is much soul-searching. Gilead remained beyond the Jordan, and Dan, why did he linger in ships? Asher remained sitting on the seashore, and upon its landing place he remained. Zebulun is a people who scorned death and risked their lives, and Naphtali stayed on the heights of the battlefield. Kings came, they waged war. There the kings of Canaan waged war in Taanach at the waters of Megiddo, but they gained no silver or plunder. From the heavens the stars waged war. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon swept them away. The torrent from ancient times, the torrent Kishon. Keep marching, my soul, my strength. Then the horses' hooves thundered. The stampeding of mighty stallions. Curse Meroz, says the angel of the Lord. Completely curse those who live in her, because they did not come to assist the Lord, to help the Lord among the warriors. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed is she among the women in the tent. He asked for water, but she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for a nobleman, she presented curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent stake, her right hand for the workman's hammer. And she hammered Sisera, she smashed his head, she shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he knelt, he fell, he lay there. Between her feet he knelt, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, destroyed. Out the window she peers. Sisera's mother wails from beyond the latticework. Why is his chariot so late in coming? Why do I not hear the clatter of his chariots? The wise women among her ladies answer, but she keeps saying to herself, aren't they just finding and dividing the plunder? A womb, no, two wombs for every man. Dyed goods as plunder for Sisera, dyed fabrics as spoils, embroidered dyed material, fancy embroidered fabric for my neck, plunder. Thus may all your enemies perish, Lord. But those who love him will be like the sun coming forth in its strength. Then the land was quiet for 40 years. This is the word of our God. So chapter 4, chapter 5 here, we've got the Song of Deborah and a couple of takeaways. First, obviously back in chapter 4, there's a lot of detail about specific places and times and peoples and locations. But one of the major details that's repeated a couple of times is that this Jabin, king of Canaan, who opposes them, he has 900 iron chariots. 900 iron chariots. If you think, you know, like he's rolling out with 900 U.S. battle tanks, you know, like an M1 Abrams or something like that, he's got a very sizable, formidable army. And against that 900, God says, and God has promised that he is going to give them the victory. He's going to release them from oppression. And Barak is supposed to be the guy in charge, but he doesn't want to do it. And again, we see the same idea that when people trust their Lord, they see that the Lord is their strength. When they don't trust the Lord, even the strength that they do have doesn't exist. And so Deborah redirects his eyes and says, you know what, you should do this because God will give you the victory, but the victory will belong to Deborah. And that's kind of the other aspect here is that when God gives responsibility, it's not a good thing if the person who has the responsibility is let off the hook. Barak, you know, nothing really good happened for him afterward, and the people of Israel would have been far better served if Barak had simply done what he was supposed to do and lead God's people, but he didn't. But you see how God steps in, and he provided Deborah. He provided this other person who would help to lead the nation of Israel, who would lead them into battle, and who would be the one who would be attributed with the victory, who would gain the victory through the Lord's work. You see the contrast between fear and faith. Between fear and faith. And that faith leads Deborah to just break into song with all the detail. You can read through it yourself. That's the first time that I've read through that chapter in a little while, probably a year or two at least. And it just has this beautiful way of saying, relaying both or weaving together both the power of God in battle and the attributes of God on behalf of his people. That contrast between fear and faith is probably where we're going to end up today. How often is it that you and I get stuck in fear instead of living in faith? How often is it that you and I get stuck in fear, like what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen, or I would speak up about my Savior, but I'm fearful about what people would say about me or say to me, or what if they say they don't want to come to my church, or whatever the case may be. But the contrast between fear and faith knows that no matter what happens, God is still God, and he still has power, and he's still powerful and watching out for you and for me, and Jesus has still died and risen from the dead. And so the battle has been won for you and me. You know, Deborah and Barak, they're like, well, we got to wait and see how God's going to figure this out. Barak was fearful. Deborah was faithful. And God says to you and to me, you have no reason to be fearful. Because Jesus has risen from the dead and his enemies cannot rebury him. So, dear friends, live in faith. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I know you have lots of choices out here in podcast land. If you're on Facebook, check us out, Raised with Jesus. There's a page for us there, and you can click like, and then you'll be one of our followers there as well. God bless your day.